Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go. It's Saturday morning across the country, and we started out fast with this one. This is a popular one. It's been picking up steam of late. I am so blessed to produce this one. Live in Los Angeles, yours truly, Mark Mancini. Out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Dr. Greg Roscoe. It's the Doc Talk Podcast. 347-205-9631. It goes by quick. I see you loaded up. We'll get to the questions and everything. If you missed this show and you want to pass it on to some friends, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Doc, how are you from Pittsburgh? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, part two of dental infections.
Yes, sir. We'll get dental infections wrapped up. Mark, I'm doing well. Things are good. Everything is rolling very, very well. We're having a good relationship with Mancini Media. How, you know, what a joy that is. That fans can get a hold of me, GJRMD308@outlook.com. Today we want to just kind of finish up a little bit with, you know, dental disease, dental infections that lead to loss of teeth. Mark, and there, you know, we had had some calls last week that were talking about losing teeth, having decay. What do we do? How do we restore it? Should I have my teeth out? You know, a variety of things. And I wanted to finish it up today, you know, talking about the two culprits that destroy our teeth and mouth. You know, number one is dental decay. The word also in the literature are dental caries, C-A-R-I-E-S. And, you know, we know about dental decay. We know about the enamel of our teeth, which is the surface, getting rotted away and being destroyed. The other element here, which is very important, is the supporting structures of the teeth. And, you know, they're that's the gum area or gingiva, but also the bone. That disease entity that affects the gingiva and the bone is called periodontal disease. And, you know, we see an awful lot of dental decay as well as periodontal disease throughout the world. That leads to dental loss, having the teeth either removed or actually, if it's so severe, the teeth actually fall out by themselves. So, Mark, that's kind of setting the stage for what I wanted to kind of talk about today.
Yeah, that's a good way to set it. And as I get to some of these questions now, Robin from Youngstown, Ohio, a current listener, she's been listening for a while, she basically says when you get older, what is it why you see a lot of older individuals lose their teeth? Is it neglecting brushing? Is it just not seeing a dentist enough? What was the reason that she can remember her grandfather, you know, more or less almost looking like a mummy to the point where he had no teeth hardly? Wow.
Robin, very, very good question, very good observation. You know, let me say this. Older people have dentures. Thank God that they do. But usually the problem did not start in old age. The problem starts very, very young. And, you know, today we have and we expect children to start going to the dentist at about a year old to start good health care. And, you know, when people start to lose their teeth, you know, it's like a set of dominoes falling. It's one after another after another. And then you get to the point that it is either so expensive or the gum, the teeth are so bad, let's get them out. And thank God people are getting dentures to help replace their natural teeth. And that's for two good reasons, Robin. One is chewing. We want to make sure that people chew their food, start the digestive process in their mouth. dentures are very important. The other, of course, is more aesthetic. And I think, you know, you mentioned about that point, that overall the dentures actually help support our facial structures, which are the upper and lower lip overall, and give us a very pleasant contour, but as well as a very pleasant smile. But dental disease usually is more earlier in life that leads to loss of teeth in later life. If one has their teeth going into their 50s and their 60s, Robin, they've done something right. They've done something well. They probably will remain having all their teeth. But dental care, dental hygiene, we should start with our children teaching about brushing, diet, and then regular dental checkups. Do you think that helps Robin a little bit?
Yeah. Sally from Burlington, Vermont, every Saturday she's here listening live, drinking some coffee, she says. And basically she wants to know how long a retainer can last. That's another good question.
Yes. As far as a retainer for our listeners, usually that's a device that our dental professional makes to maintain certain alignment of teeth in the mouth, maintaining the arch of our upper and or lower jaws. Retainers, though, are not meant to be a lifetime item. Usually they're more for a temporary situation for alignment. Once things are aligned and then the teeth get secured back into the bone, the retainer can be removed. And realize that once one has a retainer, 6 months, 8 months, a year down the road, the dental alignment may change somewhat, and that retainer may not do the same functioning. And with a retainer, it's a very dynamic situation that one just doesn't get the retainer and not continue to seek professional care. They may still need to see their orthodontist or their prosthodontist or their regular dentist to make sure the retainer is necessary, but also maintaining the appropriate position of the alignment of the teeth. So it is a dynamic thing, Mark, that, you know, as far as lasting, it may last, the product may last, but indeed we're after function. The function may be more of a longer-term situation if one has a retainer.
Right. And just to throw 2 cents on that, I would look at it like in anything. If you take care of something, it's going to last longer, Sally, than if you just neglect it and, you know, you don't take care of it, you know. So I would look at it like something like that. If people take care of what they have, you know, then it's going to last a lot longer than if you just, you know, don't care about
Correct.
It and throw it around and then pick it up whenever necessary. That would be what I would think. Any final thought to that, Doc?
Yes, Mark. I mean, I think your words are correct, you know, with regard to taking care of anything last longer. And, you know, it's a matter of maintenance. You know, we're talking about maintaining our health here, and we need to continue to maintain it because it's not an off-on situation. You do it for one time, you don't do it again. Our health care requires maintenance. It's dynamic, and it needs to be continually being addressed as we go through the different phases of our life.
Don from Winter Haven, Florida, he just wanted to sidetrack a little. I know it's a dental infection talk, he said, but sinuses, hay fever, I don't know if it's, you know, springtime where these allergies get really bad. Anything you can suggest for that, Doc? And he's listening live.
Wonderful. Good morning. You know, when we talk about sinuses and allergy disease of the sinuses, you know, that can occur any time of the year. Now, Mark, when we talk about hay fever, those particular words, that has to do with more of a ragweed situation, which here in the north we see about August, September. And that's when we have, you know, the ragweed, the high yellow weeds, where there is pollen everywhere. And again, that's particularly ragweed. Sinus allergy, though, can occur throughout the year. And overall, you know, as we know, our nose is a very sensitive organ. It is an allergic organ. You know, earlier in this year, we talked about the allergic nose. And all we're saying is the nose is an allergic organ. There is chemicals in the nose that tend to react to different stimulation. Stimulation meaning grass pollen, tree pollen, mold spores, dog dander, cat dander, dust mites. When one is exposed to those elements and they get attracted into the nose and sinus, Mark, we have an allergic reaction that occurs. Typically, you know, we talk about nasal congestion, a lot of mucus, post-nasal drip, itchy, watery eyes, could be coughing, could be wheezing. But those are the allergic symptoms we see when we have sinus allergy. You know, the allergy reaction, if I can just talk about that for a minute, Mark.
Yes.
Is a very specific reaction in our bodies. And it has to do with an element we're all aware of, something called histamine. Well, the way all this works is when the right chemicals come together in our body, and I'm talking about, I use the word chemical, but the specific term is immunoglobulin. When we have our immunoglobulin, something called IgE, when it is attracted to something called a mast cell, M-A-S-T, the histamine inside the mast cell is released. When histamine is released, Mark, it causes itchy, watery eyes, the mucus, itching, pulmonary problems, you know, et cetera. So it's a very specific chemical reaction. And that's, Mark, with most people, if they're having that, they need to see their allergist. They need allergy tested. They need to find out what the provocative agent is and what can be done to help them eliminate these allergy symptoms. So ragweed sinus disease in Florida, no doubt they have it. They may want to see their allergist rather than just go by over-the-counter medication or continue to treat with just over-the-counter medication or nasal sprays. They may need some help professionally. I'm hoping that happens. Help our Winter Haven listener.
Yeah, Ron from Temecula coming in and basically says in windy conditions, he gets it a lot too as we're sticking to this thing, going a little sidetrack, talking about dental infections with hay fever and everything. He says Zyrtec is a good one. Do you know anything about Zyrtec? Z-Y-R-T-E-C for allergies?
Absolutely. Oh, no, I do know about it. I prescribe it. It is one of our top-line antihistamines. You know, there's a family of them today that are very similar pharmacologically. There's Zyrtec and Zizol, which are good antihistamines. Typically, they're a once-a-day dosage. They tend not to cause drowsiness. They're very, very effective. So that overall, using the product, as long as there are no other conditions that would not allow him to use that, being allergic to the medicine, hypertensive, if there's been any problems with chemotherapy, or things like that, Mark. But Zyrtec is a very good one. And again, most of the antihistamines tend to give us good relief for probably 2 to 3 months. And then, Mark, they quit working. So that we need to be prepared to maybe switch to another family of antihistaminic drugs. But right now, if it's working for the gentleman, continue to use it. And it is a product, Mark, that can be used as needed. You don't have to take it every day to be effective. Do you think that's
Albert
helpful?
Poway, California, chiming in. He said he has seasonal allergies. Wow, this is the first I've heard. He said his symptoms include sneezing, runny nose, red water, and itchy eyes.
Yes, sir. I'm very familiar with it. You know, seasonal allergies, typically we define that as they have a problem in a specific season. You know, we have in the East here, we have four seasons. You know, we have the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter. California may be a little different. And just so you know this, that the pollens throughout the country are different. The same pollination here in the East is not the same as in Florida, California. There are several different allergy zones across the country. So if one's having problems in their locale, it's something that they need to see their allergist that knows exactly what the pollens are and the different elements are that they could be tested for. But having said all that, he could have a problem with the grasses where when people are cutting grass, he can't go on the porch because that grass pollen drives him crazy and gives him those symptoms. Or as we get into the fall, the ragweed pollen. And like I'm saying, here in the East, usually the winter is more dust mites and mold spores that cause our problems. But we do have seasonal allergies that overall may be one season a year or all four seasons a year. And again, one can sure as heck get tested to determine what those antigens are that are causing the problems.
Sheila from New Rochelle, New York, coming in, talking about the dental infections. She said sometimes, you know, she's given an antibiotic called, and I hope I'm not butchering this, Metronidazole, M-E-T-R-O-N-I-D-A-Z, because if you have a bacterial infection, it's sometimes prescribed with penicillin in order to cover a large variety of that. I don't know too much about that. You're the expert.
Well, you know, as far as dealing with things, if one has an oral infection, a dental infection, it is important to get that covered with the right antibiotic. And, Mark, there's a whole plethora of medications. It's just not one, you know, one shoe fits all here. So it's a matter, depending on what specifically it is, what type of infection. Now, her professional may have cultured her mouth where he takes a specimen, if there's pus, and things like that, so he can determine what the bacteria is and then go ahead from the culture, prescribe the right medication. But no one antibiotic is a cure-all for oral disease. And it sounds like if she's having an ongoing problem with infection, we need to sure take a look at the bone, look at her sinuses, look at her immune system to see why she's having all these infections and where specifically are the infections. Is she getting the right treatment? So it might be a little bigger problem than just one antibiotic to take care of this.
Rightfully so. And, you know, I notice sometimes, and, you know, just to throw it out, and we'll get to these other listeners too with about 11 minutes left in this great show, but sometimes I'll get one of those cold sores, and I more or less get it probably because of the abrasive of the toothbrush, or you'll rip part of your skin as you're brushing sometimes. Is that a normal thing? To get those things where inside the mouth where, you know, maybe the bristle catches your the inside and you get,
sure.
You know, kind of like a sore there and it takes a couple of days. And what I've tried to use to soothe that, Doc, is a little salt. I don't know if that's the right remedy for it, but, you know, maybe we're helping our listeners.
I think you're on the right track with salt. Mark, you know, there is a myriad of oral infections, oral lesions And we can sure put those on our agenda to talk about it. If you're talking about two things, talking about an ulcer, you know, it can come from your stomach. You know, we use the word GERD, gastroesophageal reflux. You could be refluxing a lot, and then the hydrochloric acid is actually burning the lining of the lip, the mouth, the gingiva. All right? So that could be an issue there. The other issue, Mark, is we'd like one to use a soft toothbrush. You know, as far as the bristles, I think I may have mentioned it, we prefer a soft bristle toothbrush to help clean our teeth as opposed to a very firm toothbrush. And you're absolutely right. If the gum is a little sore, a little irritated, putting that hard bristle brush in there, Mark, will cause irritation to that gingival edge. And the gingiva can bleed. And it may continue to be infected and irritated. So we want to get it to heal. But I think your right approach here, I know we're running out of time, the right approach here would be to go ahead, use a little bit of salt water. Now, when I speak of that, I use a little bit of a salt water rinse. I normally prescribe 2 teaspoons of salt in a half a glass of warm water. And we do that for 3 to 5 days. We also then can use our soft bristle brush with a little smear of toothpaste and delicately clean that area out to eliminate any food debris between the gingiva and the tooth. So I think it takes a little bit of TLC, but Mark, similarly, we need to continue to have good dental maintenance, all right? You know, it's a matter, our dental behavior should be such that we're brushing 2, maybe 3 times a day. We're flossing once a day. And then again, you know, I go into diet, if I can just proceed there momentarily with regard to the sugary drinks, you know, a lot of the carbohydrates, the sticky pastries, you know, that people eat, et cetera, lead to dental disease. So what if I leave it there?
Russ from Bucks County, Pennsylvania says the cause of yellowness on your teeth, he notices some of his buddies, they'll use the whitening toothpaste a little, and that'll take it a lot out of it. But like you were saying last week, I think you were saying, about it ruins the enamel, it takes away the enamel. But what causes the yellowness? He thinks it might be they smoke a lot and a lot of coffee. I know next week we're going to get into some of these topics tobacco and vaping and all that, but boy, this leads right into that.
Oh, it does. It really does. You know, as far as our mouths, realize, Mark, we have a variety of products we put in our mouth. Food-wise, whether it's grape juice, it's wine, it's smoking, all right, coffee, tea. Mark, it stains the enamel of our teeth. The yellowing could be overall a product of smoking, all right? It's the smoke that is being absorbed into the surface of the teeth. So that overall, you know, we want to do our daily diligence with regard to helping to clean, all right, these teeth. And I think you mentioned the words, you know, there are whitening products as well as bleaching products on the market. You know, as far as with whitening, usually these are a silica-based product that tends to remove the stains and helps whiten. That's one issue. The other one with this whitening is where it has some hydrogen peroxide in, which gives us a little bit of a cleaning, but not as good as the silica product. We could also be more aggressive and use bleaching products. And again, there are certain chemistries with those. Now, again, we have to be careful because we could get tooth sensitivity, gingival irritation from these products. So we need to be careful. We need to be cautious then, you know, on an ongoing basis about our dental hygiene. If we clean these teeth on a regular basis, we watch the staining products that, again, we can eat and drink, but we clean after them. okay?
Well, as we wind this dental infections part two, let's cap it, and then let's preview for next week what we're going to talk about with tobacco, vaping, alcohol, all the causes of the mouth, too.
Sure, Mark, thank you very much. For today, let's cap this, you know, in a way there with regard to the dental areas of our mouth. There are two areas that can be affected. The tooth itself, the supporting structures. The tooth itself, which is the enamel portion, can tend to get rotted away by the sugars, by the bacteria, by the acid to destroy the teeth. And again, those are the caries, those are dental decay. The other area is the supporting structures in the mouth. And overall, you know, it's the gum area, the bone that helps to keep the teeth in our mouth. Over time, when one has not done a good job taking care of their mouth, food, debris, bacteria get impacted between the tooth and the gum area. Having that debris, and I'll use the word garbage, between our tooth and the bone tends to be eaten away, shrunken away, and over time, there's no support for the tooth. That's how the teeth fall out. So finishing up this area, we want to change our behavior if we're not doing it properly. Let's clean the teeth, make it a daily habit. Let's try to floss every day. Let's watch what we're eating that gets onto our teeth. And then, again, we'll talk more about it. We want to try to avoid the smoking, the vaping, the chewing. This indeed destroys the beautiful tissues in our mouth. If I could continue.
Well, and not only that, and to bring it to full front, the cancer of the mouth, the tobacco. We've seen Tony Gwynn. We lost him at an early age. A lot of the baseball players would chew tobacco. And that tobacco, you know, would just, you know, cause a lot of problems in the mouth. And it's going to be nice to talk about that next week and break that down, because I'm sure a lot of listeners know somebody or that's had cancer of the mouth as far as that with vaping and stuff. And, boy, that's going to be something. As we wind this thing down, any final thoughts on getting into next week, and how can people get a hold of you? I want you to prop up your great establishment in Pittsburgh if anybody's in the area, and see that great staff.
Well, thank you for the compliments. You know, as far as just talking about next week, with the mouth area, I want to talk about oral cancers. And talk about, you know, what are the signs? What are the symptoms? What causes all this? You know, and just real briefly, Mark, which brought it to fore, a patient very recently that had came in to see us, and I know we're running out of time. It's a woman that had smoked quite a bit, had a large oral cancer, and, of course, she suffered, and she has passed. But, indeed, it happens. Let's help our listeners prevent something like that. And if there's any issues, get the appropriate care earlier than later.
Definitely. And how can they get a hold of you, my friend, if they're in that area of Pittsburgh?
Surely. We'd love to hear from you. GJRMD 308 at Outlook.com. Thank you for listening.
Well, I'll tell you, what, another one in the books. And for Dr. Greg Roscoe out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, producing this. Check the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. We will be back next week, same time, same channel. We're not taking a vacation. It's July 2nd, so the big 4th of July weekend we'll be with you guys to keep you informed when you're on the road or camping or doing anything. So check us out. Stay tuned for the top of the hour, live from Oakland, California, Sports Talk Saturdays, Bruce Kessinger. Till then, have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in, guys.